Hi everyone, this is Dr. Reese. Welcome to Sport Management 501, Social Issues in Sport Management. We'll finish the course with Chapter 17 in the Woods textbook titled, Deviance in Sport. This point cast will last approximately 15 to 20 minutes. Let's get started. In this chapter, we'll discuss the following topics. We'll take a look at how rules are viewed by athletes and teams, how emotion impacts sport, the use of performance-enhancing drugs, the issue of hazing, as well as the impact of gambling. Finally, we'll summarize the chapter. Let's begin by defining some terms we'll use in this chapter. Deviant behavior, which can be positive or negative, is that behavior beyond what is considered the norm. Underconformity describes behavior that does not conform to the generally accepted rules of sport. A good way to remember this is that underconformity means underachieving in regard to the rules. The opposite, overconformity, describes behavior that adheres to an abnormally strict or over-the-top interpretation of rules or customs. Now let's take a look at some examples. There are various ways to break the rules. Some modify equipment. Does anyone remember Sammy Sosa's corked bat? Some coaches use intentional fouls. Just watch the last few minutes of a close basketball game for an example. Can you say hack-a-shack? I've seen numerous other examples, from athletes catching balls on the bounce in baseball and pretending they caught it in the air, to watching athletes fake being hit by a ball at the plate to get to first base. I'm sure there are plenty of athletes whose teams are out of timeouts and fake an injury to stop the game clock. The increase in technology and video replay may have reduced some of these instances, but it will always be part of sports. As a former catcher, I have to admit that I've called for a bean ball from time to time while in high school and college. I'm not proud of it, but I was expected to play the game within the culture of the sport. If an opposing pitcher threw at one of our players, you could count on retaliation in the next few innings to discourage such aggressiveness. This leads to an interesting question. How much should athletes be allowed to police themselves? That is the new approach being used by NASCAR. Let the drivers drive. If someone is being too aggressive, other drivers will take care of the problem on the track. Interesting. Hockey uses a similar approach. In regard to fighting, I once asked one of my former students, a strong Christian hockey player by the way, about fighting in hockey. He believed that allowing fights actually reduced violence. After I fell off my chair and returned to the upright position, he explained that if fighting in hockey did not exist, there would be even worse and dangerous retaliation with sticks on the ice. He asked when the last time I saw a hockey player seriously injured in an on-ice fight. I couldn't think of any examples. I must say, his perspective as a hockey player was very interesting. Now that we've talked about on-field acts of violence, let's discuss some off-the-field issues. I believe that from the moment children are identified to have exceptional athletic ability, their lives change in a negative way. All of a sudden, their athletic ability can allow someone else to accomplish goals and objectives, winning. And accountability changes for the athlete in a variety of ways. This includes performance in the classroom, behavioral expectations, etc. In my opinion, this accountability factor, as well as the violent nature of some sports, explains many of the off-the-field incidents we hear about on the news. Few things bother me more than an unlevel playing field, where average athletes are forced to choose between drug use or retiring in order to remain competitive. Unfortunately, that's what sometimes occurs in order to remain competitive. Coaches face the same dilemma. If others are successful through cheating, many coaches have two options, and neither is attractive. You can either cheat to compete or do things the right way and risk being at a competitive disadvantage and possibly lose your job. Unfortunately, if cheating is occurring, Very few have the ability to do the right thing and remain competitive. I believe this is part of the problem with sports in our society. The financial incentives for success are just too great. The peer pressure to fit in and be accepted in one social group can lead to many behavioral problems. One includes eating disorders. As the stats indicate on this slide, girls and women are more at risk than boys or men. This is likely due to unrealistic expectations regarding what is considered attractive in our society. A quick internet search for hazing examples is frightening. Hazing occurs at just about every level and is unfortunately even trickling down to youth sport. Just as different athletes respond differently to different coaching styles, hazing affects athletes differently. Some consider it harmless fun, while others are affected traumatically. Hazing typically rears its ugly head in the form of drinking games, sleep deprivation, and embarrassing acts, many sexual in nature. Due to the litigious nature of our society, coaches must attack hazing head-on. Otherwise, individuals as well as organizations may be held liable. Though illegal in most states, gambling on sport is a billion-dollar business. The 1919 Black Sox scandal, where Chicago White Sox players were accused of throwing the World Series, and the banning of Pete Rose from professional baseball for life, are just two high-profile examples of the negative impact gambling can have on sport. Other recent examples have included sports officials, specifically in the NBA. To summarize Chapter 17, we started by defining terms related to deviance in sport. We discussed specific examples of how and why rules are broken. We looked at examples of behavior considered violent in sport. Finally, a few other examples of deviancy, such as the use of performance enhancers, the impact of eating disorders, hazing, and gambling, were each briefly addressed. This concludes Chapter 17. Thank you for listening.